I always think of the baby dolls as the perfect postmodern subject, because it's impossible to pin down and say the baby dolls were this or that. Constantly fluid, constantly changing.
Kim Vaz is a dean at Xavier University. She literally wrote the book on baby dolls. And to understand how baby dolls began, you have to imagine life about 100 years ago, when carnival crews were made entirely of men, and women weren't participants. They were spectators, tucked away on balconies, safe.
That was the way that Mardi Gras was being envisioned by a small group of very privileged men. But nobody can contain Mardi Gras because Mardi Gras is uncontainable.
And for women who weren't a part of white, middle-class, respectable society, some made their own rules.
Prostitutes have had a long history of coming out on Carnival Day and cross-dressing as men, or plying their trade and being even more hyperbolic.
See, for sex workers, Mardi Gras was a free day of advertising, a chance to say, if you want to have a good time, here we are. And that's part of how the baby dolls began. The legend goes that in 1912, a group of prostitutes from Black Storyville masked in the streets, wearing pleated skirts, bloomers with ruffles and bows, poke bonnets, and stockings held up by garters. They were competing, costume-wise, with another group of women.
So they came out and they surprised everybody, and they were smoking cigars and flinging money at men. And this is where the custom of putting money in the garter came from. And they made a scene. And a whole reversal. Like, you know, women weren't supposed to wear short skirts. They had short skirts. Women weren't supposed to be smoking. They were smoking cigars. Women weren't supposed to have that kind of access to money. So they said, here's our money, and here, men, you want some?
Just like today, Mardi Gras a century ago was a time to play with culture and values.
The period that the baby dolls developed in was a period in which popular culture was going through a shift. There was the idea that you could use terms of endearment like baby and papa and mama for your lover.
When the growing up ladies act like babies, I've gotta love them, that's all.
And then there was also this development of the culture of childhood, where children had things to play with, like dolls. Putting these ideas together with, oh, you want something to play with, mister. I'm a doll. But I'm also very sexy.
Who was a beautiful girl?
There was never one clear meaning about who the baby dolls are. They were both playing with these notions of I'm young, feminine, and virginal, but I'm also worldly, papa, you know? And so they played with the themes of the culture in ways that were very provocative.
Provocative, but formidable.
They had whips, they had razors, they had ice picks, they had bricks, because they were tough women. You did not play with a woman who was a baby doll. She knew how to defend herself. And they had that reputation, and they were very proud of that reputation.
Because masking was dangerous for women, baby dolls wanted it known. If you take my money or touch me in a way I do not like, I am prepared to deal with you. That's how Louis Armstrong remembered the baby dolls on the Merv Griffin Show in 1970.
They'd wear expensive Mardi Gras short dresses like the girls wear now, and they'd have all kind of money in their leg.
In the socks.
In the stocking, yeah. Expensive stocking. And then they had a switch that they carry in their hand, you know what I mean? And they're whipping it there too.
Masking as baby dolls grew and morphed, and over time, the baby dolls became an expected part of Black Mardi Gras, along with the Zulus, Indians, and Skull and Bones gangs. Though what exactly a baby doll looked like completely depended on where you lived and when you lived there.
Many men dressed as baby dolls, and some people report that they only saw men, and that they don't even remember seeing any women dressed up as baby dolls.
In the second half of the last century, the baby doll tradition began fading. Integration united Black and white Mardi Gras, and the baby dolls didn't jive with some ideals of middle-class Black respectability. Even more important, in the 1960s, the main stage for Black Mardi Gras, the tree-lined stretch of Claiborne Avenue running through the Treme, was dug up and replaced with the hulking concrete of Interstate 10. Generations later, in the beginning of this century, people who remembered the baby doll tradition decided to bring it back. Antoinette Cato was one of those people. She formed a group named after her late husband, the eccentric R&B star, called the Ernie Cato Baby Dolls. Like the original baby dolls, Antoinette Cato used masking to advertise and brand her business, the Mother-in-Law Lounge, as a place where locals and tourists could come and learn about New Orleans culture. Around half a dozen baby doll groups live on today, playing with culture, music, and values, just as they did in the beginning, by refusing to succumb to the idea that women who don't fit in shouldn't make themselves seen.
They reject that. They refuse not to be seen. They take Mardi Gras as an opportunity to say, your definitions of what's beautiful, of what's correct, of what's moral, and what's obscene is not the only way to look at things.
In short skirts and sometimes body dance routines, the baby dolls assert their place in the community for 100 years and counting by parading in the streets. For WWNO and Cultural Vistas, I'm Eve Abrams.